This summer, we've been going through the Songs of Summer, and we've been looking kind of at the beauty of a whole bunch of things, of the beauty of these songs and what they describe. Last week, Pastor Reed led us through Psalm 78, and his message was very clear. His message was this, to pass it on. This story, this book, is a wonderful story, and it's a story worth passing on, and it's a story that we need to pass it on, and that was very clear. I loved his message last week, and yeah. This week, we're going to be looking at another psalm highlighting the importance of this story, and I love stories, and I love this story, and I love many different stories as well, and I believe that God put in all of us at least a marble-sized passion of stories. Whatever stories they are, whether they're stories from life, stories from fiction, whatever they might be, I think we all, at least a little bit, have a small passion, yes, a passion towards stories. And one story I was listening to this summer really caught my attention. I audiobook a lot, so I listen to stories so that like I can do other things. I can cook while I listen to stories, and I just, again, I love stories. So this one story really caught my attention this summer. As I was listening to it, I was listening to a pretty amazing book, and it's this book. This book, Love Does. This is a really good book. It's by Bob Goff. And this one story he talks about this interaction he has with this young man named Ryan. And it's really interesting. I'm going to just read a little bit of it to you. So this is what Bob says. I used to think being loved was the greatest thing to think about. But now I know love is never satisfied just thinking about it. We have a house down by the water, and there's a little grass path where couples hold hands and walk along the bayfront. My wife and I sit on the back porch and hold hands a lot too as we watch the couples meander by. We're close enough to the water that they wave to us and we wave back. A nostalgic snippet from another time where people waved to each other during slow walks. And this is how I met Ryan. One day, Ryan came walking down the path all alone. Ryan waved to us and we waved back like we did to everyone. But instead of moving on, Ryan just stood there on the path, waving and not moving. Because he kept waving, we kept waving. It was a little awkward, honestly. And I wondered perhaps if this young man wanted to talk. So to break the tension, I made the short walk from the porch to the path to say hello. Hi there, how's it going? I said, reaching out to shake his hand and give him a break from all that waving. Hi, I'm Ryan, and I'm in love, he said confidently. Ryan had that glazed over look that smitten guys get. Well, Ryan, that is great. Congratulations. No, that's not why I came, Ryan stammered. What I want to say is I walk by your house all the time. And I have this girlfriend. You see, and he paused. I want to know if it would be okay. He paused again. If I asked my girlfriend to marry me in your backyard. And he talked like he had been holding his breath for quite some time, and I was taken aback by this love-glazed kid who approached a complete stranger, again, complete stranger, that's kind of weird in my mind, and asked him to use his house to stage this great caper. But that's the way it is when you're in love, isn't it? All he knew is that he wanted the girl, and he was going to do whatever it took to get her. So the story of Ryan goes on, and this story of Ryan's love continues. Throughout the next week or so, as Ryan plans this proposal, he comes up and he walks up to this beach house, and he just has his ideas get bigger and bigger and bigger. He is willing to do anything for love for this person. This plan was even between strangers, if you can believe it. Like, I don't know how I'd react if someone came up to my house and asked if they would set up this like great romantic gesture with me. That'd be kind of weird. But you know what? It's pretty cool. I think it's a pretty cool story either way. But either way, this love is audacious. Ryan's love is audacious. He's willing to do anything, like anything, in pursuit of this girl because he was in radical love. And this story warms my heart. It makes me kind of think of how wonderful this kind of love is. And this story is awesome. If you haven't read this book, I would highly recommend it. It's really good. I'm not getting paid to say this either. So it's a really good book. I'd encourage you to do. And the story continues. It's a really good story if you read the full thing. But Bob, at the end of this chapter, after he finishes this story, he describes this love, this radical love, this radical pursuit that Ryan has. He describes this love as kind of a taste of the radical love that Jesus has for us. See, Jesus was so willing to seek us that he even came down from heaven. He was willing to pursue us from heaven, come down to earth so that we could be with him. That is radical love. This is the love that we get a taste of in the story of Ryan. And this love makes me think of how I pursue others, how I pursue loving others. But more than that, it makes me think of how I pursue loving God first and foremost. One of the greatest commands we've been given is to love God, to truly love him. And I think a huge part of us loving him kind of looks like Ryan's love in the story. We're all to love God by pursuing him radically, by seeking him audaciously, pursuing who God is and what he has done for us, and then passing on that knowledge to those who follow us, those who are around us, as Pastor Rudy was really pushing us to last week. And we do this, the foremost way that we can do this, the foremost way we can see this story, see who he is through this book. This book is clear. This book is beautiful. This book is wonderful. And this is what we're going to be focusing on in the psalm that we're talking about today. The psalm is 119. And as we read this book, we're supposed to be pursuing this story. But even though we pursue this, this can be challenging for many people. Just like as Pastor Rudy said last week, this is a problem today. Last week he said less and less people know this book. Throughout Canada, throughout North America, less and less people know this story, know this book. And the less we know this book, the less we know the author, and the less we are pursuing him in a way. The more we know this book, the more we understand the God who is behind it, who reveals himself through it. Reading this book, pursuing the story, is a challenge for many of us, especially if you're not a reader in general. If you're not a passionate reader, which is totally fine, it's okay. If you're not a passionate reader, this can be a struggle. I can honestly admit that. I've struggled reading, especially in my past. But even if you're not a good reader, even if you don't have a passion for reading, no matter who you are, one of the best ways, one of the best places to pursue God is in this book. And this struggle is a problem that's really close to me, especially with how big of a problem it is now in the church as well as in North America in general. And as I've journeyed with many students especially, but people in general in pursuing this word, I found this question that's worth considering. And the question is this: what is your motivation in reading this book? What is your motivation in reading the Bible? Why do you read? If you've never really thought about this question, I would challenge you right now, if you have a pen and paper, write down why, honestly. If you don't have a pen and paper, I'm sure you might have a phone, put it in your notes, and just answer this question quickly. Why do you read this book? What is your motivation in reading the Bible? Now, if you don't want to write it down, it's great. Think about that, though, and be honest with it. I've had students that say, honestly, Chris, I don't read the book at all. I don't read the Bible because I just don't want to. I have had people say a whole bunch of different things. Be honest with why. And I'll let you take a little minute and answer this question. Why do you read his word? What is your motivation in reading the Bible? So this is a question you may have considered. I hope you've considered it, because I think it is a very valuable and very worthwhile question. But I know there might be some here that have never thought about this question and even also never have thought about reading this book. But no matter where you are, my challenge for all of us today is to wrestle, to journey with this idea of how we pursue God through seeking him in this book. And to do that, we're going to be looking at a psalm that is filled with a pursuit, filled with a passion towards this book. And this psalm is Psalm 119. So this psalm we're looking at, Psalm 119, it is a beautiful psalm about this book, about this story that God has given us. And in this psalm, it is the longest psalm. We're not looking at it all today because it would take us way past lunch and so on and so forth. But this psalm is really beautiful. There's a lot of beauty with it. It goes through, it's a very poetic psalm as it goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and each section all starts with a letter of the alphabet, kind of like alliteration today, but it's Hebrew, so it's a little different. And my challenge for you to be today, whether today or this week, read one or two sections each day. And I hope from it you'll see the beauty that the author sees in this story, and that you can be motivated more and more to this book, this word as well. So this morning we're just going to look at glimpses of this story, of this instruction that God has given to man. And as we do that, we're going to start right at the beginning in verse 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 119, verse 1. And I'm just going to read the two first verses to give us a glimpse of what the author is saying about this story. And this is what he says. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. So the psalmist here first describes the joy, the blessing that it is to follow God. Specifically, he's talking about the blessing and joy that it comes in pursuing God and seeking the law of the Lord and the statutes. Now, these are words we don't use too much. We use law somewhat. I don't know how much when you're talking to your friend that you talk about law unless you're talking about a speeding ticket or something like that. We don't talk about it too much, though. But when we think about, in our minds, when we think about law, when we think about statutes, we think about a list of rules that we are to do, kind of the limits that we have in whether it's the government giving us limits or whether it's God giving us limits. And that's how I feel we usually perceive these words, law and statutes. However, I would argue that the psalmist here sees things a little differently than we do when he talks about the law in these two verses. See, when he mentions the law, the psalmist is, I feel, not talking about the Ten Commandments, not a list of things to do, though it has a sense of that. But the bigger thing that I think he's talking about, he's talking about the story, how God has revealed to him this far. The word that he uses here, the word law, actually is just talking, it describes all that was written to them so far. The Bible as he knew it in his day. In his day, he had five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And together, they knew that as the law. But in that, there wasn't just laws. There was stories. The stories of Genesis, the stories of Exodus, the stories of Numbers. There was also instructions that God had given a man to show them how to follow God, how to be God's people in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy. This is the law that they knew it. This is the story. This is the instruction that God had given to man. This is what he is talking about. This is what I feel he describes here when he talks about the law. So for us to better understand these verses, I would argue that it's, for us to further understand it, I would argue that we kind of need to read it a little bit more like this. So we'll read it one more time, and I changed a couple words just so that we can understand it a little bit more, if you can go to the next slide. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the word of the Lord, what he has spoken to man. Blessed are those who keep his stories and seek him with all their heart. See, there's a blessing, there's a joy we have in seeking the word of God, the word of the Lord, seeking his written story, seeking his written instruction to us. And this joy of seeking him makes me think about this audacious pursuit that Ryan had in the story, this audacious pursuit he had towards this girl. That there's a joy in seeking. When Ryan was seeking this girl, he wasn't like doing it begrudgingly, like, okay, I have to do something cool, so I'm going to this random guy's house and I'm gonna propose there. Because you know what? Like, proposals are, it's kind of the trend today. No, he wasn't doing it because he had to. He was doing it because he wanted to. He was compelled to because he loved this girl. And same with us as we pursue God's word. This should be a joy for us. This should be a wonder. The psalmist later describes in verse 72, he talks about the word, he talks about the law like this. He says, "The words from your mouth are more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." The psalmist, I would say, is smitten with God's word. He knows how beautiful, how wonderful this story is to his eyes, to his ears, to his whole being. This story is beautiful. The Bible is a wonder worth pursuing. However, when we read the Bible, our pursuit cannot be simply for the words off a page. When we pursue this story, this instruction that God has revealed to man, our pursuit cannot be simply for a written word. No. As the psalmist describes in verse 2, "Blessed are those who keep his stories and seek him." Seek God with all their heart. So as the psalmist seeks and is blessed with the pursuit of God's word, his story that he's given us, his pursuit isn't foremost for the story, no. His pursuit in this word, his motivation as he reads the story, as he reads the instructions that God has given, his pursuit is solely of one person, one thing, and that is God. The main thing, the main joy, the main blessing that we have in reading this book is not in what we get out of it. It's not in what we can do because of it. No, the main blessing we have is in the God who has written it. It is in him and him alone. And that should be our motivation when we read this word, so that we, in reading this word, we can understand little by little who he actually is. Because our God is a big God. He is bigger than anything we can see. We can know about him all the more if we seek to know him. Little by little, we can get to know him more and see the wonder that our God is. People have been studying this book, studying these stories, these instructions for thousands of years, and we are still learning more of him. This is how big our God is. This is the wonder in this book worth pursuing. So as we pursue God in his word, our pursuit is foremost for him. As we read these stories, these instructions, our pursuit is first for him. Not what we get out of it, but we pursue him. First him, God and God alone. God has written the Bible to be a blessing to us. And the blessing we have is in God as God reveals himself to us. Now, as I was reading this, an author that was writing about this psalm describes this word. God's word is this. God's words is his instruction to bring us into living union with him. So this story is so that we can get closer and closer, that we can be present with God by knowing who he truly is and knowing what he's done for us. This is the beauty. This is the wonder of this book, the wonder of this story. So our pursuit of God in his word is a pursuit of him. We pursue him. We pursue God in this word. And the psalm describes the deep beauty and wonder we have in pursuing him. And if we audaciously pursue God, as Ryan's love towards this girl, kind of like that, that crazy, audacious, willing to do anything love, we'll see the beauty that God is in this word. But not only that, as we see the beauty of God, and as this psalmist kind of describes, we'll see when we're pursuing God, we'll see that not only that happens, as we pursue him, we'll be compelled towards a couple things out of our pursuit for him. So we're gonna take another glimpse at another section of verses, down in verse 10. So if you wanna turn with me there and look with me there, we'll continue reading about the beauty of this word. This is what it says. I seek you with all my heart. He says that again. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees and will not neglect your word. So there we kind of see a similar thing, this passionate pursuit that he has for him. But we see a couple other things too. And I just want to read a couple more verses to make that a little bit more clear. So we're going to read verses 33 to 35 as well. And the psalmist kind of has a cry and a prayer towards God, and this is what he says. He says, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. So the psalmist describes the wonder, the awe, his delight in pursuing God as we first saw in the first couple of verses. But in pursuing him, the psalmist expresses what's going to follow this pursuit of him, what's going to happen because of it. As he pursues God in the Bible, as the psalmist finds further delight, further awe in the word that God has revealed to him. As he's pursuing God, he's compelled to follow what God says as well. That in pursuing God, he's compelled to follow. And in following God, he doesn't feel like he's in a person locked in a room. He's not feeling like there's a set of laws that he's locked into. No. Later, as we're going to see in verse 45, he actually describes it like this following, what he finds in that. He says this, as I walk about, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. That he finds freedom in following God's word. That as he follows, he is ever more free. Interesting, isn't it? That in following God, we become actually more and more free. We're not set and become more slaves we're not fallen under the tyranny of a rule, the tyranny of a law, but we're actually set more and more and more free. So the psalmist describes that as he pursues God, he is compelled to follow him. And not only that, actually the psalmist describes that he has joy in following what God has instructed of him. That as he pursues and understands what God desires of man, of him, he delights. He even rejoices and is even more compelled to following God because of the instruction that God had given him. As we pursue God in his word, we are revealed more and more and more of God's heart for us. God's heart for what he desires of us, but also God's heart for who he calls us to be, who he created us to be. And what I think this kind of looks like is it kind of looks like this. So I've done a lot of leadership development with a lot of people, especially when I worked at a camp. And this one book really is a very good book when it comes to growing in leadership. And it's a book written by Dr. Tim Elmore. It's called Habitudes, The Art of Leading Others. And in this, he gives a whole bunch of pictures of things that we can remember to be better leaders. And one thing actually I feel really describes our relationship and how we're compelled to follow God, and it is this. So picture a mirror. Imagine a mirror is right in front of you. And whenever you move in a mirror, what's going to happen? It's going to follow you, right? So if I'm looking at a mirror, I see a mirror right in front of me, if I wave at it, it's going to wave back. If I go for a handshake, it's not going to handshake me back, but you know what? It'll try a little bit. Hopefully, it actually follows me, because if it doesn't follow me, I'll be a little worried at that point. But whatever you do, if you look in a mirror, whatever you do, it's going to follow you. And this is the same with leadership in this way. The more, as a leader, the more time you spend with those who follow you, the more they actually slowly and slowly imitate you in the little things. And parents, I know that you might sense this with your kids, especially when they're in the toddler stage. If you do something, they want to imitate you. But no, if you're a leader in any way, whether you're a leader as a parent, a leader in your marriage, or a leader just in general, if you're leading people, the more and more time that you spend with the people that you lead, the more they get to know you, the more they'll imitate your leadership and imitate who you are. And this is actually how I feel it is in our pursuit of God. See, the more time we understand, the more we get to know him, the more we see him in the mirror, we see him in our lives, we see him in general, the more we'll actually imitate him more and more and more. And Paul, throughout the New Testament, he says this is what we're called to do. Imitate me. As a leader, he says this: imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is something we're called to. This is actually what naturally happens, I feel, when we follow, when we pursue God with all we have. If we pursue God radically, if we pursue God audaciously, we pursue him with all we have, the more we get to know him, the more we'll slowly and slowly become him. That as a father leads a child, we'll become more and more like him. We'll not only become more like him, we'll be compelled to, because we see who he truly is. For what if we see the beauty of the Lord, if we truly see that, there's no way we will not be compelled to follow, I feel. That's my conviction. So as we pursue God in his word, we are compelled little by little into following him, from knowing who he is and what he's called us to be. But following him is not the only action that bounds from a pursuit, a radical pursuit of him. We're going to see one more thing that follows. So let's continue. We're going to read the last section of verses in verse 43, where it says this: "Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws, in your story, in your word. I have always obeyed your law forever. I will always obey your law forever and ever. For I walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts." Again, interesting verse. "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out to your commands, which I love, that I may meditate, I may think about on your decrees." So here again, we see these themes continue, these themes of a passion, of a delight in pursuing God, but also a passionate pursuit and freedom in following in him. But I want to look at the last couple of verses again to see how audacious, how radical this writer's pursuit of God really is. Let's read starting in verse 46 once again. "I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. I will speak your story before kings." That is radical. From his pursuit of God, pursuit towards God through his word, his pursuit to follow him, the psalmist states that he is compelled. He is so compelled towards God, towards following him, so in love with God and what God has revealed, that he's even compelled to speak of God's story even before kings. That is a radical pursuit. That is an audacious action. That is love. The love we see the psalmist has for God revealing himself through his word, is a love that we're called to pursue. That as we pursue God, pursue following him, we pursue that foremost through his word, because this is where he reveals himself most prominently. And the Spirit helps us see God as he truly is, see what he calls of us, so that as we pursue him, as we are compelled to follow him, we will make his story known to all people. Kind of like what Pastor Rui was saying last week. We're called to make this story known, to pass it on to those that follow us, as well as those all around us. This radical pursuit of God is what we are called towards when we read the Bible, when we read this book. And I think this should be our first and foremost motivation when we read this book. That is my conviction. That is my belief. Our motivation should be first and foremost towards him. He's the reason why we should read this book, the reason why we pursue these stories, these instructions. And from pursuing him in this word, we will little by little see him more, see who he is and what he's called us to be. And as we see him, as he is revealed to us through this story, we'll see how wonderful, how beautiful, how free it is to follow him. And from that, from being so audaciously in love with this God, we'll be so compelled to make this story known to all people in all places so that they can know this story. This is why we read, so that we can know God, so that we can follow him and make him known to all people. So in your pursuit of God, I would challenge you towards these things as you pursue him in the Bible. I would challenge you to these things. So consider these. First, be open to him. As you read and hear his word, be open to what he says, but more so be open to who he is. As I've talked about before in the story of Jonah, the biggest thing that Jonah had trouble with is reconciling who God actually is. Read that story. It's a very good story, and it's part of God's story. But we need to be open to him, who he actually is, and what he actually calls us to be. Be desperate to know him. God is big. He is greater than all things, and you can learn more and more about him the more you connect to him through this story, through this word. So radically pursue him. Be seeking to think about him all day. The last verse that we looked at, verse 46, says, I will reach for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate, that I may think about your decrees all day. The psalmist says he thinks about God's word all day. So don't stop thinking about him. Do this also. Be willing to ask about him. If you've read or learned something about God that you're not quite sure about, you don't know fully, ask. First, ask God. The Spirit of God is here to help us understand who God is. He's the one that's revealing stuff to us as we read this story, as we read this instruction. Ask him. Ask people around him, around you, that have been journeying with him, that have been pursuing him, so that you can know him more. And if they don't know, well, then pursue him together. You can both learn about who he is and what he's called us to if you pursue him together. So ask. Be willing to learn more about him through asking. Be committed to following who he is and what he says. And this can be a tricky one, because the more you know about God, the more I hope you'll understand what his heart is towards things, behind what he has instructed of us. So as you further understand who he is, be committed to that. Be committed to him. Be committed to following. Be willing to share about him. Like I've said before, God is too big. He is too big, too great, too wondrous for us to keep to ourselves. Share about him. Share his story about who he is to the people around you, the people in this room, the people outside this room, people everywhere. Whether it's a simple thing about sharing what he's been teaching you this day, what you've read about, a little cool verse you saw, or whatever it is, share about him. Share about this story, because he is too big for us to keep to ourselves. And last and foremost, be pursuing him. God is the one we are to pursue when we read this book, when we read the Bible. He is also worth pursuing. If you haven't pursued him yet, I challenge you to try it out. For he is worth pursuing. He is a delight to the soul, the greatest blessing, the greatest pursuit that we all could ever have. And there is no greater treasure, no greater delight, no greater pleasure we could have than knowing and loving him. So are you audacious enough to pursue God in this book? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these people. Thank you so much for what you have spoken to us. Thank you so much for this wondrous book. And help us, Lord, see the wonder of your story, of this instruction, this word revealed to us. And Lord, help us follow. Help us share your story. And all in all, may you have the glory in all that we do and how we pursue you and how we follow and how we make you known. Lord, you are the beauty before our eyes. You are the wonder in this story. You're the one worth pursuing. Spirit, help us pursue. I pray this in your name. Amen.